ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 ओके, सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग फिफ्थ चैप्टर, कर्मयोग एक्शन इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस। I'll just recap what's happening. Otherwise, we can't understand what's going in this chapter. So, any first, second chapter, everybody understands what was all about. In the third chapter, Krishna is talking about Karma Yoga, is it? So, we saw Karma Yoga means pure Karma Yoga means bhakti, direct Krishna consciousness. Karma Yoga in purest form is devotion, because that is service action you are doing for Krishna. That is service. So, and then after you do service, your heart becomes pure, and then you can understand knowledge in details. And that is where fourth chapter is Jnana Yoga. Is it? And Prabhupada always did like that. For masses, for new people, it was kirtans and service and prasad. For advanced people who have done service, for them, okay, philosophy. Philosophy for classes, no. Prabhupada said, then you have to understand. And we have seen practically, new people cannot understand philosophy, is it? If you say, they are like out somewhere. So after Karma Yoga comes Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga also, in purest form, pure Jnana Yoga is bhakti. Because Jnana is knowledge of self, knowledge of super self, and the knowledge of relationship with super self, and everything about service, no? Why you should do service? That's a question. That question is provided by Jnana Yoga. So Karma Yoga provides the answer to the question, what is service? So what type of service should we do? What type of service? What question Karma Yoga answers? What type of service should we do? And Jnana Yoga answers the question, why should we do service? Now it's clear?
Yes.
So, but Arjuna has a question now. Fifth chapter, he's again confused. So Arjuna is... Arjuna said, now let's come to the first verse of fifth chapter. What Arjuna says, now from where confusion comes now. It's pretty clear to us now. But for Arjuna, there's confusion. Arjuna says, fifth chapter, first verse, Arjuna Vacha, Sanyasam karmanam krishna punar yogam cha samshasi yat shreya etyo rekam tanme bruhi sunischitam. Arjuna said, oh Krishna, first of all you ask me to renounce work, and then again you recommend work and devotion. Now, will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? Now, Arjuna is asking, should I work or should I take knowledge? That's what the point is, Arjuna. And if you take knowledge, then you have to avoid fighting. How will you take knowledge? If you keep on fighting, you become tired. Like, what is this? First, I have to take knowledge. First, I should work for you. But the question is much more deeper here. For us, it is clear. You have to work to do service. With understanding, no? With Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga with Jnana Yoga. With proper understanding. Why? What and why? Then it makes sense. But Arjuna is getting confused. Arjuna is thinking that Jnana Yoga means you have to leave your activities. He is thinking Jnana Yoga means you should go in forest and read books and then come and do service. You see what's happening? But Krishna's proposal is no. You do service with knowledge. Krishna is supposing you do service with knowledge. You do what you have to do with the understanding of why. That's Jnana Yoga. But Arjuna is thinking, no. First, I'll understand why. And then I will go and do whatever I have to do. So Arjuna is confusing Jnana Yoga with sannyas. Ordinary sannyas. Like people leave their homes and go and sit in mountains and like then they whatever meditate. They want to do, meditate and whatever they want to do. So he's confusing Jnana Yoga with ordinary sannyas, where people leave everything. And that's why he's saying, should I leave or should I work? That's a confusion. But according to Krishna, Jnana Yoga is not leaving. Jnana Yoga is simply understanding why you have to do what you have to do. Now you understand what's happening. Because generally in this material world, if you say Jnana Yoga, people say, ah, you're Jnani, you know. You have left this world. People understand like that, no? Okay, you're Karma Yoga, you're doing your duties. In mundane understanding, Arjuna is taking the meaning of Jnana Yoga. So this is deeper. Arjun is not understanding the definition of Jnana Yoga, what Krishna is defining. For Krishna, pure Jnana Yoga is just understanding, not leaving. For Arjuna, Jnana Yoga is leaving and probably understanding whatever he wants to understand. Got my point? So Krishna has different understanding of observing the armies. Krishna has different angle of seeing Jnana Yoga. Arjuna has different angle of seeing Jnana Yoga. That's the problem coming. And Arjuna is saying, okay, first of all, you asked me to renounce work. See?
Right.
Renounce work. He is taking different definition of Jnana Yoga. And then again you recommend work in devotion. Now, what is beneficial for this? So that's the idea. Okay, so now we'll see. Now what Krishna is saying, now you will understand. In second verse. Shri Bhagavan Umacha. Sanyasaha karma yogascha nishriya karaubhau tayostu karma sanyasat karma yoga vishishyate. See? The word which is important here is karma sanyasat. See? So what does Prabhupada write karma sanyasat as? In comparison to renunciation of? Karma sanyas. Arjuna is taking Jnana Yoga as karma sanyas. That's his confusion. Krishna immediately uses this word. Krishna can understand. He is defining Jnana Yoga in different sense. And he is thinking Jnana Yoga as karma sanyasat, leaving activities. Going in forest. So he says, no. Krishna says, no. If you want to understand what is better, leaving activities or karma yoga, then my opinion is karma yoga is better. Even if you define jnana yoga as leaving activities, in that case, my decision is you should serve. Karma yoga is better.
Okay.
You see? Get my point? Supreme Ascended Godhead replied, the renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. What of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. So, you can take it. So, yeah, people who can leave everything, people who leave and go, they will do whatever they want. Of course, that is good for liberation because at least they are not doing sense gratification, no?
Right.
They are going and then they will understand, slowly they will come to devotion. But Krishna says, what is better is, don't leave and go. That's not a good proposal. You work in devotion with knowledge, proper understanding. That's much better. You elevate faster. Because that, if you leave and go and everything, you may fall down. Because your heart is not pure. You have not served me. Without serving me, your heart cannot be pure. It's impossible. So leaving everything might help you a little bit to get free of this entanglement of this world. And devote your time to understanding God and then slowly come to devotion. You see, it's a indirect way. But there are chances of falling down. So why don't you directly take to devotion? Karma yoga, pure karma yoga. See? That's where Prabhupada, in the purport, he quotes this big verse. You see this? And Prabhupada writes in this purport to first, in the first paragraph, purport, last line, almost last line in the purport, first paragraph, Prabhupada writes, although mind may be engrossed in fruitive activities, influenced by ignorance, one must develop love for devotional service to Vasudev. Only then one can have opportunity to get out of bondage of material existence. Prabhupada quotes this. You can't find? Second verse, purport, first paragraph. Last line.
Okay. Last part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Only then one can have opportunity to get out of bondage of material existence. Without service to God, you cannot get purified. You see? So service to God, leaving everything might be conducive to service to God. Is it? Because you are free from entanglement. But that's not everything. Leaving everything cannot verify you. So Arjuna was confused what to do. Krishna says, no, even if you take karma sannyasat as definition of jnana yoga, still you are wrong. Still you are wrong. I don't mean jnana yoga as karma sannyasat first of all. I mean jnana yoga as pure knowledge. Why you have to do service? But even if you define jnana yoga as karma sannyasat, still you should not choose karma sannyasat. You should choose karma yoga. Pure karma yoga, service to me. That will help you. See?
Prabhuji, if we know that we are not this material body, but the spirit soul,
so
does that not escape us from material bondage?
I just explained everything, no?
So if we understand that we are just the spirit soul, not this material body,
so
having that understanding, having that jnana, we are still liberated from material bondage, aren't we not?
No, you also have to understand, no? The spirit soul's function is to serve God. Not just spirit soul knowledge will not help. That's what Prabhupada is writing in this purport. People who leave everything, karma sannyasa, they go, they think, I am soul, I am not this body. That's why they leave, no? I am not body, I don't have to do anything with this. So I'll just sit. But Krishna is saying, no, that is half knowledge. You have to also understand what is the function of spirit soul, to serve God. So ultimately you leave everything. Then you understand function is to serve God and you come back and then serve God. You ultimately come to karma yoga. To serving God, you need things, no? Mm-hmm. How do you serve God? And you need body. You need things. So then Krishna says, like, you are going indirect way. That's not a good knowledge. Okay. Okay, so you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now third verse, Krishna is giving his definition of jnana yoga. What he was trying to explain to Arjuna. Now Krishna says, one who neither, 5th chapter 3rd verse, one who neither hates nor desires fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. See? Krishna says, Arjuna, you are fool. First of all, you are defining jnana yoga as karma sannyasat, as leaving everything. And second, you don't understand what is the meaning of leaving everything. You don't have to leave activities, you have to leave desires. See how he is going. First of all, you are stupid to misinterpret pure jnana yoga as karma sannyasat, leaving everything. And second, you are double stupid because you don't understand that leaving everything is nonsense. You have to don't leave objects, leave desires and hate. You see? So this chapter is very difficult. If you don't understand properly, you will get confused, you know what's happening. Right. One who neither hates nor desires fruit of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person free from all dualities, easily overcome material bondage, is completely liberated, O mighty Amdarjuna. See? And now, fourth verse, Krishna says, what is real Jnana Yoga? Mm-hmm. Now Krishna says, my definition of Jnana Yoga you hear. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service as being different from analytical study of material world. Jnana Yoga is also called Sankhya Yoga. Pure Jnana Yoga is also called Sankhya Yoga. Krishna says, according to me, Sankhya Yoga and Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga are non-different. Those who actually learn it say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the result of both. Simple. You see? So Krishna says, my definition of Jnana Yoga is, Jnana Yoga is also called Sankhya Yoga by Rishis, and either you do pure Jnana Yoga or you do pure Karma Yoga. Result is same, because if you understand why you have to do service, you will do service. You will do Karma Yoga. If you do Karma Yoga, if you are doing service, you will automatically want to understand why you are doing. You are practicing Jnana Yoga. So they are non-different. You see, pure Karma Yoga is Bhakti, pure Jnana Yoga is Bhakti. They are non-different. So you see the logic, what's coming?
Yes, yes.
So the logic till here is, I'll just recap, what is the logic? Logic is, Krishna was explaining to Arjuna that you have to do Karma Yoga with Jnana Yoga. Pure Karma Yoga with Jnana Yoga. You have to do what kind of service? With understanding why you have to do. But Arjuna got confused. Arjuna misinterpreted Jnana Yoga as leaving. Karma Sannyasa, leaving everything. So then Krishna says, okay, fine. Even if you think leaving everything and choice between leaving everything and Karma Yoga, you should still go for Karma Yoga because leaving everything is dangerous. You can fall down. Yeah. But Arjun, you're foolish. You don't understand. You're stupid because you think leaving everything is right. Actually, you should leave desires, not things. Activities. So you are, first you misinterpret Jnana Yoga as Karma Sannyasa, and then even you don't understand what is Karma Sannyasa. You're double stupid. And now, my understanding of Jnana Yoga is, what I want to make you understand, Jnana Yoga is understanding by of Karma Yoga, and which is also called Sankhya Yoga. And Balaha, childish people, less intelligent people think pure Jnana Yoga and pure Karma Yoga are two different paths. Actually, they are same. Because if you understand why, go to what? Understand what to do? You not really understand why. See, that is why this chapter is called Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada writes, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada adds the word consciousness. Because Jnana Yoga will provide you the conscious. Conscious means attitude. And action is action.
Karma.
So you have to fuse both, pure Karma Yoga, pure Jnana Yoga. So, it's difficult.
Can you comment on this analytical study?
Yes, Sankhya is Jnana Yoga, same. Sankhya means counting. So, Prabhupada mentions, counting means, okay, you have earth, water, fire, air, ether, five elements, five senses, five working senses, five knowledge acquiring senses, karma indriya, jnana indriya. So, 15. 15. And then you have five sense perception, that is touch, form, taste, smell of the senses, 20. And then you have mind, intelligence, ego, 23. 24th is soul, 25th is super soul. So you count. When you come to super soul, and you have understood matter, now you understand I don't have to do anything with matter. My connection is super soul. And the connection with super soul is devotion, service, and then you start doing service. What kind of service? You end up in Karma Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
It leads to the same path.
Same path. That's why Krishna is saying childish people say they are different. Mm-hmm. So, Chinmay Mission says, morning Jnana Yoga, afternoon Karma Yoga, evening Bhakti Yoga. What is this? This makes no sense. They're childish. They don't understand what's happening. Actually, they're confused. Like Arjuna is confused, no? Mm-hmm. Same confusion. They think Jnana Yoga is leaving everything, Karma Yoga is doing your duty ordinary. Mm-hmm. They're like, totally messed up everything. Mm-hmm. So if you don't understand the logic of Bhagavad Gita, you will not understand anything. And it will appear same. Okay, one who neither hates nor desires. Everywhere Krishna is saying, don't hate, don't desire, go beyond. It seems repetition, no? Mm-hmm. But if you understand the context, then it seems proper.
Prabhuji, chapter 3 is Karma Yoga. Chapter 5 is also Karma Yoga.
No, it is Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness.
It is
with attitude, with Jnana Yoga. With Krishna consciousness. Third is Krishna is saying just service. He's talking just Karma Yoga. Pure Karma Yoga, you do. But he's not explaining there that it's to be fused with Jnana Yoga. Now here Arjuna gets confusion, so Krishna explains. And Krishna says, anyway, between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, always service is the end. That is why the name is Karma Yoga and not Karma Yoga. And not Jnana Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. You see? So the name, of, I think in Sanskrit name of this chapter is Karma Jnana Sanyogat, something. Fusion of Karma Jnana. And Prabhupada intelligently names it as Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Because in Krishna Consciousness, you're reading something and you're doing service. So what is more important? Service. Everything has to go to service. Prabhupada, that's why I said, do something for Krishna. No? What do you have done for Krishna? Give me the results. Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to meet Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, one of the sannyasis. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada used to say, where are the results? Mm-hmm. Service counts, you know. If you're not doing service, if you're simply reading, then what's the point? There's no point. Even if you want to choose between pure Karma Yoga and pure Jnana Yoga,
pure Karma Yoga
is still better than pure Jnana Yoga. You see? Mm-hmm. Because you start with pure Karma Yoga. You take pure Jnana Yoga knowledge and then you
fuse.
You fuse and then come to pure Karma Yoga. You have to do service at the end of the day. You know what you have done? You see, so Prabhupada's written Karma Yoga, Action Krishna Yoga. So, that is why fifth text Krishna speaks, one who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on same level, sees things as they are. See? Prabhupada says, both are same. No, it's not a big thing. Okay, so now let's... Okay, so you read the sixth verse. Merely renouncing all activities, yet not engaging in devotional service of Lord cannot make one happy. See? Again Krishna comes to that. Again Krishna comes to that karma sannyasat. He explains everything and then he again comes to that question to convince Arjuna. Arjun, actually your proposal is wrong. Merely renouncing activity will not help. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve supreme without delay. So okay, let's go fast forward. Eighth and ninth verse, let's go. Just I missed one verse. Now, 8th and 9th verse, you read that and tell me what is the meaning of this. A person in divine, 5th chapter, 8th and 9th verse. A person in divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Why Krishna says he does nothing at all?
Seeing situated him. In divine consciousness.
So what? You are doing something, no? Who is eating? You or somebody else? So why Krishna is saying he actually does nothing at all?
He is absorbed in Krishna consciousness.
So what? He will not eat?
Because he is soul.
So what? You are soul and you are doing something. Prabhupada, yeah, Mataji?
Prabhuji? So even though he is doing all activities, he is in divine consciousness, so karma owes karma to him. So that's why he's not doing nothing at all.
Okay, you might be right. Karma doesn't affect him, that's another proposal, but Krishna is saying he does nothing at all. He is not doing anything. So okay, I understand your point. If he is absorbed in divine consciousness, you don't get reactions of your actions. So in that sense, you are saying he is not doing action, no? That's one understanding. Okay, fine. If you push a wall and work done is zero, wall doesn't move, work done is zero, no? Work is equal to force into distance. Distance is zero. No matter how much force you apply, work done is zero. Similarly, if you do something, if there is no reaction, so work done is zero. You are applying force, no reaction, no distance moved. So in your accounts of karma, nothing happens. No, nothing is added. So work done is zero. In that sense, I can understand. Any other sense? But Krishna says he does actually nothing at all. What do you mean by this? He's not doing anything. Krishna is saying he's not eating, he's not smelling. He's eating but he's not eating. He's smelling, he's not smelling.
Because all of our senses are controlled by the demigods.
I accept your answer, but there's something going deeper than this, no? Because Krishna is saying he does nothing at all. He's not doing anything.
He's not expecting anything.
Okay, wait. Let me ask question in another sense. Now, Mataji said that he is doing everything, but still there is no reactions. Why, in spite of doing everything, there are no reactions? Now tell me. This is the question.
He's not attached to the results.
So what?
He's doing everything in, I guess, service.
Okay,
he's
so
pure
what?
Pure karma yoga.
So what? That's a name, pure karma yoga. So what? What's the logic?
Just now you said, Prabhuji, like karma sannyasa and the other one. So we should not leave and go, and we have to do service in God consciousness. So
that's what my question is. My question is, why, if you are serving Krishna, you don't get reactions? Okay, that's my question.
Probably I can try with an analogy.
Because Jivera Swarupa.
No. You don't have to quote verses now. Give me logic. Give me logic. Logic. Verses everybody can quote.
Okay. the senses are actually directed by Rishikesha.
Well,
okay,
so can you make me understand what do you mean by that? I mean to say Krishna is not telling you eat, now you smell, now you take bath. He doesn't tell you, no. So what do you mean by directed by Rishikesha? We are free will, no? We are doing things out of our own free will.
Door-tailing.
What do you mean by door-tailing? That's what my question is. If you door-tail, then why you don't get reaction? That's what my question is.
If you don't bring divine consciousness, so we fall down with the self-gratification, with doing all this activity.
I'm not asking if you don't do. I'm asking if you do, then why don't you get reaction?
That is the work of the constitutional
because
position
doing
of
it
the
for
soul.
Krishna.
No, constitutional position is not logic. Constitutional position is an answer to escape the answer.
Because we are doing it for Krishna's pleasure. So, we are doing it for Krishna's pleasure.
Okay, can you make me understand? Yeah, so, why acting for Krishna's pleasure, you don't get reaction? See, there is a point here which you are missing. You are going round. So,
you are engaging the objects in the service.
See, the point is why Krishna says he does nothing at all. Because when a devotee does the work, he is not inspired by his desires. He is inspired by the desires of
the Lord.
And when non-devotee does the work, he is inspired, his actions, he's eating, smelling, everything is inspired by his own desires. When the action is inspired by your own desires, you get entangled. You desired, you get entangled. Simple.
Okay.
You desire, you get it. But he is not desiring. He is doing what Krishna desires. So, he is not getting entangled. Well, that's what Prabhupada gives example, no? In war, you kill so many people. You don't get hanged. But yeah, I got an order. I didn't desire, it was a desire of chief. He told me, I shoot it, that's all, finish, you know. So he doesn't get entangled in the punishment. But if he comes here in Charlotte and shoots somebody, you're gone, you're in jail. So that's
how
the
we
point.
How do you know that this inspiration is by God and not
you have to check by Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. There's no other way. Initially, we have to check by Guru, Shastra and Sadhu that this inspiration, what I'm doing, is according to Shastras. That is why there are rules. For people who are new, there are rules. You follow rules. If you're following rules, you automatically know that this is desire of God. There's no confusion. Getting me in Mangal Aarti, it's not my desire. It's desire of God.
To sleep.
Yeah. So that is why following rules and regulations is very important. If you don't follow rules and regulations, you don't know whether it is your inspiration or Krishna's inspiration.
Now, for in practical life, 9 to 5 you do work.
Yeah.
In that scenario, there are a lot of...
Now, for householders, if you are doing work 9 to 5, all those actions, whether inspired by God or not inspired by God, you don't know.
Yeah.
So, when you are doing work, it's a little dicey. You don't know. But, if you are absorbed in service of God, then you are doing work, you don't get... You are doing everything, but you know I am doing work for sustenance of my body so that I can understand Krishna. So it becomes indirectly connected, not directly. And because you are indirectly connecting your work to Krishna, there's always chances of being confused. It's indirect, no? There's nothing directly clear. So that is why Bhaktisandha used to say, when householders go for work, you're going inward of Maya.
Mm-hmm.
you're self-entering. And there, that's why you have to be careful there, no? Be careful. So that is why in work, the rule is, do the needful.
Mm-hmm.
When you go for work, do the needful. Whatever is required. That's all. Not 0.0001 max extra. Don't entangle yourself. The chances that she'll pull you, Maya.
Mm-hmm.
See? So, how do you know you're getting inspired? That is a desire of Krishna. Follow rules, regulations. That's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is, you can ask Guru. Shastra Guru. Whatever spiritual master says, that's desire of Krishna. sadhu, Vaishnava, senior Vaishnava says that is desire of Krishna. Okay, that's it. But when you start following this clearly, sincerely, then after some time, super soul will start guiding you. The dhami buddhi yogam tam. So then you yourself understand that this is desire of God. But if ever you are confused, still you are confused whether this is inspiration, because it's difficult now. So there is a rule. Any activity which leads you to sense gratification, that is not inspired by Lord. Because Krishna will never allow you to do sense gratification. Everything is designed to stop sense gratification, no? So any activity in Krishna consciousness, if it seems like service, but if it is leading to sense gratification, no chance is it inspired by God. If that activity, that service is leading you to reduction of sense gratification, then that is definitely, it is inspired by God. And then you can double check with Shastra and you can know. See, so you have to be careful. This verse is very important to understand that, because sometimes we do service and we think it's inspired by God, but we are doing our own sense gratification.
Jihad.
Whatever, but they are like nonsense, you know.
Yes, nonsense.
It's all sense gratification. You eat meat, slaughterhouses, what is in the name of?
Yeah.
And even in a Krishna consciousness, there is service to eat prasad, but we take more prasad out of sense gratification. Then that's not inspired by God. If you're taking for taste, then there's a confusion, is it? So that's why Krishna says he actually does nothing at all. Now you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the answer is for that.
Nothing at all is, he has none of his own desires.
Yeah, he's doing nothing because he's not fulfilling his desires.
Okay.
He's inspired, his actions are inspired by the desires of God. That is why he's doing nothing at all. So for example, if you go to company, like small company like in India, so jitne bhi in India you have all these people working, employees, like for 10, 20 years, no, like faithful people. And if you ask them, how we... तो कंपनी कैसे चल रही है, सो दे आर डूइंग एवरीथिंग, बट देन दे विल टेल अस, नहीं तो सब काम तो साहब जी करते हैं, मतलब तो सारा काम तो मालिक साहब कर रहे हैं, हम तो बस प्यादे हैं, नहीं पीपल से नो लाइक दैट, हम तो कुछ नहीं कर रहे, सब वही करने वाले हैं, मालिक साहब ही करने वाले हैं, देन दैट्स अ पॉइंट, बिकॉज दे वर्किंग अकॉर्डिंग टू डिजायर्स ऑफ दैट बॉस, दैट मास्टर, दैट्स व्हाई ही सेज, या everything is done by master, we don't do anything, he just orders us, we fulfill. In that sense Krishna is saying, he orders we fulfill, we are doing nothing at all. That's why all responsibility goes to Krishna, doesn't come to us. We don't get entangled. Somebody comes to us, you have done this, you will be punished. Come on, I was ordered, you ask him. I didn't do this, I'm supposed to do this, you ask him. See, so that's why you don't get reactions. Everything should be absolutely clear. No? Okay, this is very important verse. You should read, you should remember this verse always. And then we go a little forward. Let's go to 14th verse. 5th chapter, 14th verse. Krishna says, na kartitvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karm phalasa yogam so bhavastu pravartate. Embodied spirit is master of the city of this body, does not create activities. Now you understand why he is saying does not create activities. Nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create fruit of actions. All this is enacted by modes of nature. Now Krishna is bringing another point here. That okay, if you don't follow, either you follow Krishna's desire or you follow modes of material nature, your own subhava. We are forced actually. We are many times forced. So either you follow your own nature or you follow Krishna's desire. If you follow your own nature, then you will be entangled. If you follow Krishna's desire, all responsibility is shifted to Krishna. And you don't get entangled in reactions. So that is why Krishna is saying all is enacted by modes of nature.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we are not free. We think we are free. We think we are acting to our own desires. I am free to choose my desires. No.
It is the modes.
Yeah, it is the modes. It is you are like habituated to all your desires. So you are forcefully fulfilling your desires. So the point is, why Krishna is bringing this point? Because you can argue, okay, fine, I will not fulfill Krishna's desire, but I will choose whatever I desire, and so I will not desire, and no reaction. You see? The question was to become entangled. So Krishna says, okay, fine, if you fulfill my desire, you don't get entangled, because you are not impelled by your own desire. Now person gives argument, okay, I will stop my desires. So no entanglement. With this man, so Krishna says, no, foolish person, you can't stop your desires. You are forced. You will be forced to fulfill your own desires. You can't
because
stop
the modes
it.
Are acting.
Because modes are acting. That's what he is bringing this point here.
Prabhuji, even if a person is acting in Krishna crosses, the modes will be in dormant state. He or she will not be relieved.
No, in beginning.
In beginning.
Slowly he will get relieved. Okay, in beginning the modes are acting, Krishna desire, neophyte. But when we keep on advancing, because we are serving Krishna, by his mercy, he will relieve us of modes. That's the idea. So you understand why Krishna is bringing
yes.
this point. There is a logic to this.
Yes.
To this verse. And then 15th verse, what Krishna says. 5th chapter 15th verse. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone sinful or pious activities, embodied being however bewildered because of ignorance which covers the real knowledge. Now Krishna is bringing himself in the picture. So I told you, if you understand God, you understand yourself. If you understand yourself, you understand God. So Krishna is saying, see, just like I am not involved in any reaction. Now we just said, no, if you fulfill desires of Krishna,
no,
you don't get reaction. So somebody can argue, okay, reaction goes to Krishna. Responsibility goes to Krishna. Krishna says, no, foolish person, I, even if reaction come to me, I am not affected by that. That's why he's saying, Supreme Lord does not assume anyone's sinful and pious activities. I am not affected, so don't worry about that. That okay, Krishna will be affected by that. Action, reactions comes to me and they get burnt off.
But it goes to the Guru, right? If we commit offences.
Guru transfers to Krishna.
Okay.
Offences is a different thing.
Okay. So this is what?
This is, you are fulfilling desires of God.
Mm-hmm.
You are fulfilling so desires of God.
My own desires.
So if you fulfill your desires, you get reaction. If you fulfill desires of God, responsibility goes to Krishna.
I had heard that if I do something wrong, then...
Wrong is different. I am saying right.
No, I didn't.
If you do something wrong, right, okay, fine, I understand. Responsibility goes to Krishna, reaction goes to him.
Uh-huh.
And it's neutralized. Now, if you go, because Krishna is not affected, no? If you do something wrong, and that...
Suppose I eat non-prashadam, which is not correct.
Yeah, but that there's a point here. There's a point here. If you do something wrong, not out of will, unconsciously, not willfully.
Okay.
Krishna says, okay, fulfill my desires. And if there is a mistake in fulfilling my desires, either pious or sinful, those reactions will, because I am ordering you, those reactions will come to me and it will get neutralized.
Okay.
But if you willfully plan and do nonsense,
uh-huh.
then I am not responsible.
Okay.
Why I should be responsible?
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, so then if somebody does some offense,
uh-huh.
then reaction goes to him
uh-huh.
and his guru.
Okay.
Because guru didn't guide him properly, no?
Okay, now I am clear.
Okay. Now it's clear.
Hmm.
Do animals have desires and do they get reactions?
Animals have desires but they don't get reaction. Because animals are like, they don't have free will, no?
Yeah.
They're like machines, reflexes, they work by reflexes. We don't work, we have free will to control. We have free will to choose whether I should fulfill my desires or Krishna's desire. Animal doesn't have free will to choose whether me or God.
Mm.
So they don't have free wills. So okay, they are exempted.
So they are just dissolving the karmas.
Yeah, for example, child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Child is playing, he hits you. Yeah, okay. If adult hits you, then why? Because, you know, he doesn't have choice, no? It's like an animal.
Okay.
same way animals are like that.
So even though animals are not working in Krishna consciousness, because they don't have free will.
Yeah, so they will keep on evolving. Human life, then yeah, down or up. Okay, so that's the point here in this verse.
So if you take this verse out of context, is very dangerous.
Yeah, if you take the out of context, you're gone. No, so that's why, so that is why all these dhongi gurus, they do this. They'll write an article in Times of India Speaking Tree, all those, they'll quote one thing, they use some logic, yeah, it is okay. But without context, everything is known. That's why jihad is there. That is without context, jihad. Kill kafir, kill them. Well, you read whole Quran, you know, Quran is a message of peace. It's not a message of war. And what about Gita? Gita is also war, no?
Yeah, starts with it.
Starts with the war. But there is no Hindu in any point of time in history who concluded that we have to kill people. Because we understand it's message of peace. We like read everybody understand. But what they are misinterpreting. It's like foolishness, you know. So that's the point. Okay. So now let's go fast forward. Come to verse number 18. And this verse you should always remember. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini suni chaya vashapake cha pandita samadarshana. So what do you mean by samadarshana? Can anybody tell me?
Yeah, it's a very... Who sees everybody as a soul.
Okay, who sees everybody as a soul.
Mm-hmm.
Whether brahmana, cow, elephant, anything else, not soul is like half knowledge, no? So it's a complete answer.
The super.
See?
Everybody connected to the super soul, every soul.
Okay, yeah. Samadarshana means he sees everybody as in part and parcel of Krishna. That is good answer, no? So you get soul, super soul and relationship in this answer.
Okay.
So everybody is part and parcel of God. In other words, he might be sinful or pious or a devotee. In any condition of life, he is still part and parcel of God. Or in other words, everybody by constitution is part and parcel of God, but not by disposition. Samadarshana doesn't mean that devotee is equal to non-devotee.
Right.
By action, they are not equal.
Mm-hmm.
By constitutional, they are equal. That is what you have to put the words here. Otherwise, you get confused. Otherwise, many people say, non-devotee, it's same. Mm-hmm. Sab Bhagwan ke hai. So that, then, okay, you are right, sab Bhagwan ke hai. Magar ek Bhagwan ki seva kar raha, ek nahi kar raha.
Mm-hmm.
So disposition means action, function. By function, they are different. But by constitutional, they are same. By constitution, both are car. But one car is used for good work, one car used for bad work. That's you have to put in samadarshana. Otherwise, there's going to be problems. Okay, and this verse you can quote. This is one question, answer to one question in preaching. If somebody tells you, so this communist, Samyavad,
mm-hmm.
this philosophy,
yeah.
everybody is equal.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to quote this verse, you're wrong. So scriptures also say about equality, but scriptures tell about spiritual equality, not material equality. Communism is trying to bring equal everybody on material platform. But that's wrong. Everybody is equal on spiritual platform. Everybody is part and parcel of God. That's okay. But materially everybody is not equal. That is wrong. So you have to quote this verse. That is why Krishna uses the word pandita. Pandita means who has knowledge, who has spiritual knowledge. So you can, this verse is counter argument to communism.
Yeah.
That's preaching, I'm telling. Mm-hmm. And then you come to this verse, 22nd verse, 522. It's a very important verse you should remember. Yehi samsprija bhoga dukhyone vate adyantavantah kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Intelligent person, 5th chapter, 22nd verse.
Mm-hmm.
An intelligent person does not take part in source of misery, which are due to contact with material senses, O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. What do you mean by this verse? What Krishna is trying to tell us? What is the insight here? This verse you should quote when you meet a materialist. If they ask you this question, okay, many people say, no, materialist, that you are enjoying, I am enjoying. You do your Krishna consciousness. I do my life. You are happy, I am happy. You don't interfere in my life, I am not interfering in life. No, we both are happy. But no, we are happy and you are unhappy. Why? Because your happiness will lead to
misery.
That's what Krishna is saying. Intelligent person does not take part in source of misery, which are due to contact with material senses. Source of misery is happiness.
In material.
Material happiness. Yehi samspraja bhoga. That bhog. Dukh yoni avete. It is yoni of dukh. If you read the Sanskrit words, that's very nice. It is a womb. Your sense gratification is the womb of miseries. Slowly you will get a child which will mess you up. That's what this very important shloka to actually make them answer them. Okay, fine, you are happy now, but it is source of miseries. You'll suffer after some time. But our happiness is different. Our happiness is source of more happiness. Prati padam purnamrita asvadanam. Simple. Okay. So that is one verse. And then you can come to last verse, 5th chapter, 29th verse. And this everybody knows. Bhokta ramega tapsam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam. Prabhupada says peace formula. It's a peace formula. And you can read this purport. It's very nice purport. You can come to this. I'll just want to quote this 5th chapter, 29th verse. Purport, second paragraph. And just see in between, there's a line in between. So middle of the paragraph. The more one had advanced, the more he is freed from crutches of matter. You found this line?
Yeah.
Fifth chapter, 29th verse, purport, second paragraph. In the middle of second paragraph, there's a line. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from crutches of matter. The Lord is not partial towards anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness. See? Lord is not partial. If you follow the process, practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness. It's karma yoga. If you follow what is said by a spiritual master and you serve, you advance. If you don't follow, you don't advance. Simple. There's no magic. There's no magic. Initiation is not magic. Initiation is a contract between spiritual master and disciple that I'll guide you and you should follow. Promise to follow, I'll guide you. And the disciple says, okay, if I promise to follow, will you guide me? It's both same. It's both contract from both sides. So, which in every respect helps one control senses, conquer the influence of desire and anger. So, if your senses are not coming in control, there's some problem. If sense gratification is not going down, desires and hate is not going down, there is some problem. We are not following process nicely. Practical performance. Anyone who stands fast in Krishna conscious, controlling the above mentioned passions, remains factually in transcendental stage of Brahma Nirvana. That is the highest perfection of life. This is the verse. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Otherwise, we'll stop. Without teacher, you can't understand Gita. It's impossible. It's confusing. Everything looks same.
Everything looks same
everywhere.
Anybody on the call has any questions?
No questions.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the class. So, with respect to the following the desire of the Lord, even when we do Vaidhi Bhakti, and seemingly following the rules and regulations, Guru Sadhu Shastra, we could deviate, right?
Yeah,
or we
yes.
could misunderstand our desire to be the Lord's desire?
Yes, it can happen.
How to, come away from that pitfall?
Yeah, I told the answer. If any time you are confused, then there's a rule. If your activity is promoting sense gratification, that is not desire of Krishna. That's all. If your activity is reducing sense gratification, then that's desire of Krishna. Simple. Is it? That's clear?
Yeah, it's clear. Thank you.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I have a question not related to this topic.
Ask Srila Prabhupada ki jai.